Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland. And this evening we're coming to you from the lovely Ard Tara Country House here in Mid Ulster in Derry. I'm very happy to be joined with my special guests, Marcus Rolston and Ian Orr. Your collection, Marcus, what you call the Browns Bonds Hill.
Browns Bonds Hill collection, yeah.
Yeah. If you could just give us a bit of information, I mean, just give people an idea about that. This is kind of a combination of your passion for property and good food, really, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Myself and Ian got together in 2009. That's why we called it the Browns Bonds Hill collection. That was our first one, Ed, our first restaurant in 2009. Was a very good partnership and still is. Ian's a chef, a very good chef, you know. So we came into it, I had the business end of it, and Ian looked after the food. And then our collection has grown from that, you know, over the 12 years. We now have four, you know, we like to think very good restaurants, you know, and that's what the collection is all about.
Wonderful. And of course, the rest of the one in Derry, which has so many accolades and awards, just a recent new addition to the Blue Book.
Yes, just this November, we got into the Blue Book. Which is great because there's not that many standalone restaurants in the Blue Book, and we're in there, you know, with five or six, you know, very elite restaurants.
And Marcus, as you were obviously qualified as an engineer, what led you into the hospitality industry?
Well, my qualification is civil and structural engineering, and but property, I've been in property for years. I've been self-employed, you know, most of my life, and I started off, you know, got into hospitality. You know, my first bar in County Donegal, and it sort of evolved from that, you know. But it's really taken off as far as, you know, the high-end restaurants and that when I went into partnership with Ian, you know, in 2009. Ian was a young chef in Ralph Mullenhouse, making a great name for himself at the time.
And Ian, Rathmullenhouse, of course, another amazing property. So you were there, what age were you there? You were 25, was it, when you were working there?
I think about 25, back in the day, as I call it, Ed. So 25, so I loved it, really loved it. I was there for about 3 or 4 years, and then obviously then Marcus, he was basically looking to open a restaurant in Derry, and basically that's how the partnership began. So we haven't looked back since then, big man, have we?
No. That's when it started.
And yourself, did you always want to be a chef? Was that how you started out?
Well, actually, I wanted to be a fireman like me dad, Ed, but I'm actually colourblind, so that was out. Then I wanted to be a farmer, but I had no land. And then I decided then I loved to eat food, you know, when I was a kid. And that's when I started to have the passion for food. And that's when it sort of began. So I've been cooking since the age of 15 and I've been loving it.
Wow, amazing. And I mean, when you met Marcus, I mean, did you think to yourself, like, this sounds like something, that sounds like a really good idea. I think I should have a look at this.
Absolutely. When I sort of said to Marcus, look, I just didn't want to leave Rathmullenhouse just to be another, you know, head chef, basically. And then Marcus says, well, yeah, let's go 50-50 partnership. And that's where it's, you know, and Marcus has been a massive, you know, like, he's helped me. He's there on the phone if I need stuff like that, you know. So it's been a massive journey for us, which has been brilliant.
You've won so many best food experiences here in Northern Ireland, right? And you've had Michelin mentions and Michelin accolades as well. I mean, and the food here last night, I must say now, incredible. I mean the local produce around here, I guess, you have a lot of really interesting things. But the scallops, for example, venison. I mean, again, we're talking, when you talk about country house, and I think this time of year lends itself to beautiful country houses with fires going. And yeah. I said I haven't stayed in a room before that I went into with the fire lighting. And I thought I was in Downton Abbey, you know. It was like amazing. So, but the food really is, in a way, Northern Ireland has come on in leaps and bounds, hasn't it, Ian, in terms of food?
Absolutely. We've got some amazing projects. I've got a great team here, as you know, Ed. And that's one thing, like at the start when we opened Browns, you know, like, you know, we were doing top end food, but Marcus never came and said, look, Ian, it's quiet, we have to do this, we have to change this. It was always been pushing forward with great ingredients and great food. And you seen it yourself last night, and we're still pushing forward. We're always, you know, like the venison dish, can we make it better? You know, you had the beautiful scallops, which we get from Kikil. So that's what it's about. We're still always trying to strive for perfection.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, again, we mentioned earlier, the Blue Book, of course, is synonymous in a way when people, you know, people probably know as a kind of country-run family, you know, there's a whole, you know, a whole sort of an authenticity to the Blue Book. So were you delighted when you kind of just, when, now that Artar, of course, in the Blue Book already, and now Browns as well?
Yeah, and as you said, like, you know, Chapter One's in there, now Browns is in there, so it's absolutely great to be involved and to be in it.
This time of year now, I mean, we've been through, I suppose, would be a tough time for the hospitality industry. It's been a bit of a challenge for you, I guess. I know in the South, like, we've a lot of problems with staffing now and different things. People, but again, it's been a challenging time.
Yeah, it's been a challenging time, but you know, that's when the partnership is actually, you know, me and Marcus, it's been a tough couple of years, but because the partnership is so good, you know, we bounce ideas, we talk to each other, and I think that's how we really survived it, big man, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, the one thing I must say about up here as well, guys, is that there's incredible, I mean, you know, the value for money is brilliant up here as well. I find that even when I was in the restaurants and stuff, you get, I mean, it can be quite expensive below, but really good value for money. But the Artara story here is really interesting. Marcus, when did you first come here, and when did you first lay your eyes on Artara?
I can still remember the day we drove in the driveway, myself and Ian, and we just loved it. Right away, we just fell in love with the house, and we said, we have to have this. 2 weeks later, we had it done and dusted, bought, deal done. And it was great for Artara and even the staff here, because there was talk about maybe the house closing at that time. So it was great, even the staff, you know, you could see the relief, you know, on their faces when we come in, you know. It's just a gorgeous house, and, you know, as you said, I'm the business end of it, the numbers game, but I remember the time saying to Ian, we're not even going to look at numbers in this, we're going to buy this. And we did make it work. The first couple of years were tough, as in any business, but now, thankfully, you know, it's just going really well, it's really busy and profitable, and we've been able to pour those profits back in, Ed. We've done the house entirely inside, we've just completed that now, and in the last 12 months, we've got out into the grounds, you know, so we're not finished yet. I don't think you're ever finished, really, you know, in a property like this.
Mm.
But it's a great relief to have it at this stage.
And how long did it take you? I mean, from when you got it, how long did it take to restore the property?
Well, again, we bought it, I think, 7 years ago now, Ian. Yeah. It was December 14. And we just did a bit of the time. Ed, as I said, the first couple of years were tough, so we were slow to get off the ground as far as doing too much is concerned. It has been gradual, and it's really only, I would say, 12 months ago, I think we finished the last room in the house, you know, the last area in the house to be, you know, touched. The house, in fairness, was in good shape when we got it. It's great now to get out into the grounds. We have a lovely courtyard that we uncovered, and we took the opportunity during the last lockdown to re-roof it and tidy it up. And we're hoping to put a bit of accommodation down there as well. We're still deciding exactly.
Yeah, because it's really interesting. I mean, people think about country houses. I mean, you have nine beautifully appointed kind of rooms here. So that's, I mean, you know, it really is almost like you're coming to stay with family in a way, isn't it?
But I think that's the experience, Ed. You know, it's about experience now. I mean, we don't take for granted. I mean, obviously the food and service and all our restaurants, we would like to think is top notch. It's really there. The experience, people want more than that now. I mean, the island of Ireland as a whole has come on leaps and bounds with regards to, you know, the food experiences. So you have to be looking to give people more and, you know, the experience of the country house. Yeah, it's great to hear you talking about that, Ed, you know, how you loved the house last night. But that's the charm in it, and that's part of the draw here, big part of the draw.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I suppose you've done an amazing job in that it's an amazing, the condition here is incredible. I mean, everything is kind of, I think, restored back. Even in the dining room, the friezes around the area, I mean, something really special. I have never seen those before, but like absolutely incredible. And the original stuff there as well.
No, the house is and was in great condition when we saw it. I mean, we really were in a rush to get it over the line. I remember at the time, we couldn't believe how good a shape it was in, you know, the house. I think we were looking, we got it at a good time as well. I think 8 years prior to ourselves purchasing it, the house was, you know, the roof was re-roofed as such, which is a big part of it. And an old property, I think it's fair to say the roof is probably the most important thing. You know, that's what holds it together. And if the roof is sound, the rest of the house is normally not sound as well.
Well, it'd be interesting. Well, we'll have a chat about there's wonderful history here, of course, for the house as well, and the whole linen industry around the areas. We'll chat about that now. Well, what have you chosen for your first choice of music for us this evening, Marcus?
Well, I'm getting to choose the first one, am I?
Yeah.
A song I just came across myself a couple of years ago, and I've loved it ever since. A song called To Ramona. It's a Bob Dylan song. But if we can do the David Gray version, because he's a better singer.
Ramona, come closer, shut softly your watery eyes. The pangs of your sadness will pass as your senses will rise.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. My special guests this evening, Marcus Rolston and Ian Orr, a partnership made in heaven here up in the beautiful Artara country house in Mid Ulster. And I'm having a wonderful time with this, as I said earlier, the quintessential country house experience. Guys, there's an amazing history here with the house, Harry Clark. You know, what he done, and from a very young age, I suppose, what he achieved. Marcus, could you tell us a little bit about the history here? I mean, we're in the heart of the linen industry, of course. Clark's linen, they're still in existence today. But the history of the house here, Marcus, is really interesting.
Yeah, the house was built by the Clarks. The Clarks had a dynasty here. They built the village of Upperlands, really. And they've been making linen here for over 350 years. This particular house, our tower, is not the oldest house. There's actually 13 properties within a very close, you know, proximity here that were built by the Clarks, you know, old houses, mansions or whatever, which is amazing in itself in a small village to have that. This particular house was built in the 1890s by old Harry Clark, as he was known. Himself and his brother, they took over the business, the Clark Linen business, around that time. Yeah, so Harry built, you know, his home here and married Alice and reared his family here and stuff. So it is a happy house. People, you know, even the people who've worked here for, you know, 25 years, like Valerie, who was the original general manager here, it's a very happy home. And, you know, when people come into it, they get that feeling. You know, sometimes you go into a property or an old house in particular and might not feel comfortable in it, but there's a really comfortable feeling.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, in this house. And people talk about old houses and being scared in old houses, but during lockdown, myself and Ian, our families, we got the opportunity to stay here more, you know, and you would have been here in the house on your own at times, but we never ever got any sort of feeling, you know, bad feeling in the house.
Yeah, and of course he was very young, you know, when he was there, Harry Clark, 25, and he was a bit of a bon vivant, as we would say, I suppose, wasn't he? He enjoyed the good things in life.
They worked hard and you know, they made a lot of money and they enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah, this was a party house they built, you know, originally back at the time, himself and his wife, Alice, you know.
And Ian, this is, for anybody who knows, I mean, this isn't just like some country houses that you come and it's a complete package. I mean, the restaurant here is standalone, if I suppose to use that word, so that it's, you can just come here, of course, and have a beautiful meal in the restaurant, and you can seat up to how many people here?
We seat up to about 50 yet.
Yeah.
And then we do afternoon tea, our breakfast, you know, it's the last thing the guests get. That is just so important as like our dinner at night. So, and then we do Sunday lunch, which is brilliant. It's a perfect Sunday lunch destination as well.
Yeah, so what you're getting, so I mean, if you when you're staying here, you have that lovely quiet, you know, romantic kind of country house experience, but you have that in the evening time, that wonderful interaction with a busy hub of an actual a restaurant as well, which is really unusual.
It's a great buzz to it as well. So we've got 9 rooms, which is 18 for dinner, and then we've obviously then got outside guests as well, which obviously creates a great buzz, which is brilliant. We do a lounge menu too, Ed, so people can come in and they can check in early, have a fish and chips or a homemade burger we do as well. And then we do like a Flaxman's kind of ploughman sort of lunch, which is good. So there's lots of stuff for the guests to have.
Yeah, brilliant. And I mean, in the whole area here as well, Ian, I mean, you've so much to do, right, in terms of activities, beautiful walks. I mean, yeah. I went up to Mussenden Temple there yesterday, just Benown Beach. I can never pronounce, what's the name? Benavenna. Benavenna, is it?
Benavenna Mountain, very good.
Absolutely. Famous. HBO filmed a lot up there with Game of Thrones, the Dothraki grasslands.
Very
but
good.
You're spoiled as well here. The location you are here, you're literally, I mean, you're in our, the Giant's Causeway is up the road. You know, your Derry is up the road, of course, only 30 minutes away. The beautiful walled city. So you're in, it's an ideal base, isn't it?
Well, that's why they call it Mid-Ulster, because it's just based, you know, you're 45 minutes to here, you half an hour to the North Coast, which is great, 40 minutes to Derry, and then obviously when they open the new road as well, Ed, you'll be able to do it in half an hour, which is great. But it's a lovely part of the world, really is.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You were at Benavenna Mountain then, and Muslim Temple, brilliant.
I was very lucky. We were filming a few years ago, and I got to fly in a helicopter over the whole thing. Very posh, but it was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, to see it from above, but a beautiful part of the world, and of course you're spoiled for nature here as well. Really, really beautiful. And the beach is Port Ross, Port Stewart, right beside you here as well. You know, really, really lovely. Ian, you've a unique kitchen here, all female. I met your lovely chef last night. And I mean, as I said, the food, a Galway woman. Yeah, the food was just fantastic. But it's a big challenge. I mean, you've put that's part of the secret of success, I suppose. You've put an amazing team together here, haven't you?
And we work closely with our teams, front of house and back of house. You know, myself and Marcus, we would meet them, and I obviously, you know, we work with them as well. But she's definitely a great, sort of my first female head chef, to be honest, I've had. She's been absolutely brilliant, great attitude, her food's amazing. And she's kind of, and it's quite important that she knows our ethos, she knows this local seasonal produce that we use.
Yeah, I mean, and when I was chatting to her last night, she was saying that nothing is more hateful than doing the same thing every day. Yeah. And I guess that's kind of the secret of success here as well, isn't it? Just the variety and the constant. I mean, you're changing the menus the whole time here, aren't you?
All the time, Ed. And there's certain stuff like we have on there, like, you know, the lounge menu is there for like guests coming in so they can have a sandwich or a soup. And then, but the ethos is local seasonal produce, and then we just kind of we change it as we want.
Brilliant. And in Browns now in Derry, I mean, everybody keeps telling us, you know, that you really have become sort of the top, I mean, I suppose without saying it, the top restaurant in a way, really. Everybody says to me, oh, you know, if you're going to Derry, they mention Browns. It's almost like synonymous. It's a bit like one of the, like, I mean, Belfast, of course, you've got Ox and you've Epic and everything. I mean, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
It's a lot of pressure, but it's probably, Marcus probably always said, like, it's probably getting out, like, an institution there. You know, we've got great chefs in there that have been trained with us. It's been there now coming up to 12 years. But yeah, it's definitely known in the city as probably the best restaurant, and obviously in Northern Ireland it's probably one of the best restaurants out there at the moment, which is good. Got a massive refurb, it's looking fantastic, and obviously now in the Blue Book, which is brilliant for us.
Yeah, I mean, is it very difficult? I mean, because I've seen over the years since I've been coming up here, I suppose, a lot, that amazing kind of almost food explosion, and it's like the quality up here in the north has become, you know, it's just skyrocketed. Is it very challenging now to kind of mentor and put a team together like that, especially, I suppose, the way things have been over the last year or two? But it's a big challenge to put that team together, is it?
It's a big challenge, but to be fair, like, the team has stayed with me for a long time, which is great. Our chef in Browns at the moment, he started off as a kitchen porter for me. And like, he's been with me for 12 years, and that's where he is at the moment. He's doing a fantastic job. But he used to be a bricklayer back in the day. Now he's the head chef at Brown's Restaurant, which is brilliant.
Now, come here. Obviously, there's some magic going on here, right? How can you take a bricklayer, right? And he became and became the head chef, really. How does that happen?
Exactly. he was passionate for food. He didn't realise he actually loved it. Now he's brilliant.
I suppose, Marcus, in a way, that is something that you must get a lot of pleasure in as well. I mean, aside from having an amazing eye for great properties and bringing them to a beautiful place like you've done here, bringing people on like that, isn't it? Isn't that just, it's a great pleasure, I suppose, really, isn't that? And you were saying that, did you have staff that stay with you all the time?
Well, all the great, the business books that you would read and the great mentors, they would say that, you know, in any business, what you do is you develop people. And if you develop people, the rest of it looks after itself. And it is a lot, the people. I mean, Artara and the experience even in Artara here, you know, it's really about the people and the characters, you know, and retaining that and looking after them. I mean, Valerie, who was the general manager here, she celebrated 25 years. Obviously, Sean, you know, McAvoy is our general manager here now, and when we took over, Valerie wanted to take a step back. But Valerie celebrated 25 years here in Artara 3 years ago now, you know?
Yeah.
It was before the pandemic. Valerie, she won't mind me saying, Valerie's 71 now. She's actually, we wish her well, she's going in for hip replacement actually this Friday. She's 71, but Valerie still, she works part-time. She's still very much part of the team here. She wants to be here, and we've kept her here, you know, and that's what we try and do. You try and look after people. And they will look after you.
And Sean, of course, last night, again, amazing guy, wonderful welcome. And you can see the passion, I suppose, of people. And that's one of the big challenges, I guess, Ian, now as well, with, you know, with the way, I mean, I know a lot of chefs I talked to were saying, you know, they've struggled with restaurants, struggling with staff and people. So that's it's a great tribute to you guys, I guess, really, you know, that you have that sort of loyalty.
Look, we did have difficulties as well, but not so much as other restaurateurs, you know, people in the business that we've been talking to have went through a torrid time. I think, yeah, our staff, definitely a lot of loyalty there.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think, I suppose, some of them have come and sort of said to me, you know, and said to Ian as well, look, you guys looked after us. You know, we love working in Browns. A lot of our staff would be, you know, all the restaurateurs would come maybe and try and headhunt them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll tell you about it and they'll say, look, listen, we just love it here.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, we just love to. Why would we go anywhere else?
Yeah. And I suppose Ian as well. I mean, you know, which is one thing, of course, being a chef. But of course, you're running a business, isn't it? Really, and it's all about people management these days, isn't it? And you have to sort of, you know, and nurturing, and you know, it's not just about the good food. It's yeah. really, it's about you know, the people that make it all.
Exactly, and because we've got the four-ed, you know, like all the teams work together. There's promotion in the group as well, and I think that's why our sort of teams have stayed with us for a long time as well, which is good.
Now, Ian, it's your choice of music. Now, next, what tune have you picked for us?
You know, dance techno songs or not like that, Ed. So look, Snowboard would be a massive, I think they're a brilliant band, so I'm going to pick Snow Patrol, Chasing Cars.
We'll do it all.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. We're coming to you this evening from the lovely Ardtara Country House here in Mid Ulster. That was a lovely piece of music there, Ian, Snow Patrol. And of course, another thing that's really synonymous up here, music. I mean, like we saw there, Belfast was just given a brilliant UNESCO award for City of Music. I thought it should have been Derry myself, but anyway, a huge, so a massive music tradition here, isn't there?
Yeah, that happened last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually Gary Lightbody. He was actually all chatting about it, which was good. So,
yeah, and he's an ambassador now for the whole thing. Ian, in terms of the collection, right, what are your plans, I suppose, going forward? I mean, it's great to see the success here, and especially, as we were saying earlier, I mean, about the difficult times we've been through for hospitality, and coming into Christmas now. Are you doing anything special here? I mean, have you got your turkey and ham traditional recipe, or what are your plans now for the Christmas season?
Well, we're actually doing a couple of Christmas demos, Ed. So I show people how to sort of cook the perfect Christmas dinner, because it is quite difficult to cook. So I kind of give them my sort of tips. So we're doing a couple of them next week, and
that's in Browns, is it?
We're doing it here actually. Ed.
Ah, okay.
So we're doing two here, and we're doing one in our other restaurant, 1894. which is we're doing it as well, which is good. People can likely see sort of tips on like Christmas dinner and stuff like that. We offer then our basically our menu, and then we have our version of a Christmas dinner. So we kind of we sort of stuff the turkey with a bit of stuffing, chestnuts and thyme. We make homemade cranberry sauce, and then we do, instead of doing ham, we do like a ham hock tureen, which is good. Nice bit of parsnip puree. You're licking your lips here, you're getting hungry.
I am, yeah. I love Christmas, I must say. And is that, is people just, do you come along to that? Is that like sort of a paid, a master class with Ian, is it?
So it's just like a demo. So I basically, it starts at 7 and I just show people my version of a Christmas dinner. So we show them, this year I'm doing some canapés, and then we're going to do a nice sort of smoked salmon and prawn starter. We do a little soup, and then we do turkey and ham. And then I make a Christmas pudding. And then afterwards, then the guests then get to eat everything I've cooked. So the actual two of them are fully booked next week, to be fair. And we have a couple of places left for the one in 1894.
So. Wow, brilliant. And in terms of going forward now with the four you have at the moment, again, what are your plans? Are you looking for like 10 restaurants, 20 restaurants? What? World domination?
I'll let the big man answer that one in their market sense of that. Okay.
I think where we've gone with the collection, because they are, I suppose, for want of a better word, high-end, you know, a really good experience, you can't never, you can never get that out of control. You know, you don't want to be, you know, a large. So I would say if we did one more maybe, I think 5's enough for the collection, because as Ian said, to have your finger on the pulse in each place and, you know every member of staff, know their abilities and know what's going on every day, any more than 4 or 5, you wouldn't have that same control. And then you lose the edge, you know, you lose, you know, the experience, you lose that edge. But we've enough to, be getting on with here anyway. I mean, you know, the site here in our tower, for example, you know, we can still develop, we can add little bits and pieces, you know, maybe rooms down in the courtyard and things like that. It'll never be a very large hotel, that's not the plan. It'll stay the, as you called it, the quintessential country house. So there'll never be any more than 19 rooms here. I think after that, it's not a country house anymore. You know, it doesn't have that feel. And, you know, Browns Bonds Hill as well is quite a big building, you know, and maybe in the future there, you know, we might maybe townhouse rooms there. So within the four restaurants that we have, there is quite a bit of development that we could still do there within that.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look back, I suppose, when you look at the likes of the famous women that were involved in the Blue Book and setting up, like Myrtle Allen. Yes. Like, she had her little restaurant because the husband was a farmer and she wanted to use the surplus. And then she opened up rooms so she could get a liquor license to give people drinks. It's funny, isn't it? But that's a really nice idea, the kind of story, and to build on rooms. But it's a wonderful, is it something that's passionate for you? I mean, looking after people, it's sort of, do you get such, you must get a great buzz out of that. And your attention to detail here is just phenomenal. I mean, as I said, the little touches around here are just great. Like, there's everything, is there, even from the soap. You're using that amazing argan oil soap. I was like, wow, this is just really nice little things, you know, that people are very impressive.
People, that's what people expect now, you know, anyway. Mm. You come to a country house. Yes, it's an old house. It's been sensitively restored. But at the same time, people do expect a certain level. In the bedrooms, spanking clean, you know, fresh and new. So I think that's the challenge with an old house is getting, you know, people don't want to come into an old house that's dank and, you know, damp and maybe smells old, I suppose, for want of a better way of describing it.
Yeah. And for you, I mean, do you think, is there a rule about country houses? I mean, should they have so many bedrooms? Do you have your own sort of ideas, I suppose, your vision really, I suppose, what you like yourself or what you, for going forward, I suppose, if you're going to do this, if you saw another house like this somewhere, I mean, I suppose you'd probably be tempted to sort of say, God, Ian, I'd love to have a look at this. And then Ian have a heart attack.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has their own notion, Ed. I think just for myself and Ian, it's not the vision we have for the place. Some people buy an old country house and then, you know, 12 years later, I suppose a lot of it happened in the boom. There's 50, 100 bedrooms on there. And it's not a country house anymore. It loses its charm and it just gets lost in the middle of it all. The ones that we've been fortunate enough to travel around Ireland, you know, and visit the other Blue Book properties and stuff. And I just think once they go beyond 19, 20 bedrooms, they start to lose, you know, that country house feel. That would just be my notion of it, you know.
Yeah,
other people may have different ideas. I mean, you take it here, one of the things that the guests keep saying when they come back here and they keep coming back to our tower, they're amazed, you know, that the staff know their name and remember their name, you know, the next day at breakfast, and they can have that conversation, that personal conversation. I suppose if you get too big and you have too many guests, how can you do that? You're not going to be able to remember, you know, everybody. So, that's our notion.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, I think that's something that's, and you probably agree with that as well. Small is beautiful in a way when it comes to this when you're offering somebody this experience, isn't it? And I mean, it is about experiences now, Ian, isn't it? People are looking now for, because we've had so much, you know, stuff with COVID, and people, you know, they're nervous about flying overseas, and, you know, so many things now that we never thought we would have had a few years ago. I suppose people are happy to spend a few more bob and to kind of really have an experience rather than just, you know, another trip.
Exactly. And when they come here, like, the rooms are amazing, the place, but then when they get the food, they're actually surprised. Like, they don't realise how good it is, you know, because they think it's a country house, it's going to be maybe sort of standard kind of food, but like, it is a foodie destination. That's one thing we open all our restaurants, myself and Marcus, you know, the food has to be amazing. Like, it's all about the food, the service and the place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for you, I mean, there's obviously a great sense of pride in what you do here. And as I said, I wasn't joking earlier when I said, like, the quality of the food here last night was just phenomenal. And again, I mean, I know people sometimes think they do kind of expect very good food with Blue Book stuff. But I mean, I could say to you that was probably sort of, I've had Michelin star meals that would not even been as good as what I had here last night. But I suppose you don't want the pressure of the Michelin star either sometimes, do you?
That's the, look, if it comes, but something we would probably love eventually. But for me, the main thing is, like, we have a great business that's, you know, there's people coming, and it's, for me, that's such a, so important as well.
Yeah. And for yourself now, when you go out, when you go out yourself, right, and you're going for a meal yourself, when you have a bit of time off, which I'm sure you do, what's your favorite kind of food, do you think? Have you, you know, with all the big food types like Italian, Chinese, Thai, I mean, do you have a favorite yourself, or is there a guilty pleasure you like? Or
think about everything. Obviously, I eat browns in town, or Tara, and then eat meat tonight. That's the only four restaurants I eat in. But no, it's nice to get out and get good food, to be fair. And I like a bit of, you know, sort of spicy food as well. And even, like, food trends keep changing. So at the moment, it's all into this sort of Asian, like, umami food, and different types of soy sauce, the big one. Different types of miso, you know, we're cooking a lot of that at the moment. You know, we're just kind of playing about with it, you know, so it's always kind of changing.
Amazing. And I mean, you guys, you look very, very healthy. I mean, I know some chefs, you know, you'd see they wouldn't be so, but you look, do you do a lot of, in terms of being a chef now, I mean, you have to be pretty on the ball with your healthy food as well, don't you? And I mean, there was a whole fad, wasn't there, about gluten-free and vegan. And I mean, I suppose that's all very important as well for people now. It's kind of, it was a growing thing. Is that something now that's difficult when you're running a house like this?
Well, obviously, like, you know, gluten-free is easy for us, Ed, because we don't use any flour in our sauces. We make our own gluten-free bread. We make gluten-free desserts. So it's actually quite easy. Obviously, the whole vegan and vegetarian thing's getting bigger as well. So we just kind of keep adapting to see what's out there.
Yeah, brilliant. And I mean, yeah, because I have to say, the bread, amazing. The bread here was really good, and the butter and everything was just so, so good.
So we serve that famous Guinness bread in all the restaurants. You know, that's our recipe. It's just, it's the same. And then we do like a whipped butter, and then we always serve like another bread. So like a sort of focaccia or a white loaf, we sort of do like that. But our Guinness bread always stays on. It is a winner, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely delicious. Marcus, as I said earlier, we're coming into Christmas now. Tell people here, you come up, your close is at Monday, Tuesday, and then you're open for the rest of the week.
Yeah, just for the winter, we close on Monday and Tuesdays here. Now, having said that, we probably could have stayed open 7 days this particular year. It gets a bit quieter in the wintertime. The year that it's been in it, I mean, we're still very, very busy. Yeah. You know, there's an argument to say we could have. But it's good to give the staff a little bit of a break too. I mean, if you're running a place 7 days a week, you know, especially the key managers and that, there's a lot of pressure and stress because, of course, our general manager or head chef, they don't work 7 days even when we're open 7 days. But if you're working 4 or 5 days, even when you're off, if the business is still open, there's still the stress there. You know, you could get a phone call, you know, something could happen. So it's very important to give people a break as well. But our restaurant, I mean, you touched on it earlier. I think that's one of the special things about our tower. There's an undeniable buzz that comes from, having a full-service restaurant on site as well, that you're not just feeding your guests. But it's great for the guests then because they have the house to themselves, you know, when the other dinner guests would go home. But they have that buzz when they're in the dining room.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's like the Isle of Capri near Sorrento, you know. It's great when all the tourists or the day trippers go home. You have the island to yourself. It's beautiful. Well, I have to say, guys, this place is really, really special. I've travelled all over and I've stayed in lots of places. This place is really, I must say, kind of unique, really. And you've created something wonderful here. What have you decided for what wonderful piece of music, what have you chosen for your last piece of music for us this evening?
Well, we had a bit of a debate on that, hadn't we? But I think
we both like this song.
We're here in Ireland. We're in a country house in the countryside, and I suppose if we go for an Irish folk song, a very famous one, Grace, and maybe the Dubliners version.
Brilliant. Well, guys, listen, Marcus, Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you this evening. I'm off now for a lovely country walk. Thank you so much. Happy Christmas.
Thanks, Ed.